If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to be preaching from John chapter 1. You can turn there. And while we turn there, let's just open in prayer. Well, not open, but let's just pray. Ask the Lord for his help this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence in our midst, that you're already touching lives, you're already moving, already speaking to us. But we just pray that as we look at your word, that you would give revelation of the truth of your word. We pray that you'd help us to understand the scriptures. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us. I pray this morning that we would all leave here having encountered you in a powerful way. This wouldn't just be a regular church service where we tick a box, say we went to church, but we want to leave here going, we actually met with God, the living God, and we are forever changed because of that. I pray for that in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So, John chapter 1, I've been going through the book of John for the last couple of weeks, and we're in chapter 1, we're up to verse 14. So we'll look at this morning, we'll look at verse 14 to verse 18. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, if you want to follow. It says this, it says, "So the Word became human and made his home among us." Your version may say the Word became flesh, made his home among us. "He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness." In other versions, it says grace and truth, full of grace and truth, or unfailing love and faithfulness. "And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." Verse 15, "John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, 'This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another.'" Your Bible may say we have received grace upon grace. And verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." And if you want a title for this message, it's simply that Jesus revealed God to us. I want to talk about, before I get into kind of going through that verse by verse, I want to talk about one of the paradoxes of the Christian life. And that is that God is essentially, he's unknowable because he's infinite, right? No one will ever get to fully know God. We could say, well, the chair you're sitting on, you could study it for years and you get a pretty good idea of what that chair is like. But God is not like that. He's invisible and he's essentially unknowable, and yet the paradox is that he wants us to know him. So we've got someone who's infinite, someone who's so vast, so beyond anything that we know, and yet God says, "I want you to know me," to some degree or other, right? And you see, the big difference between God and us is that we are finite. We have a finite amount of knowledge we can put in our mind, some of us more and some of us less, but God is all-knowing. We have limited power, and God is all-powerful. We are in one place at one time. God is everywhere, okay? And he's outside of time. He's not in time, right? And so this is the challenge we face, is that he wants us to know him, but he's so different to us. He's so transcendent. And sometimes we can think, well, it's impossible. How can I get to know an infinite God when I'm so limited, when I'm so small? He measures the universe with the span of his hand. How can I, a little dot on a dot of a planet, get to know this God? But it's something that God wills, and it's something that he desires. He wants to be known. And this scripture that we've read essentially says this. I'm just going to summarize it. God became flesh. He became human. He became one of us. We couldn't go to him, so he came to us. Okay? And when he came, he was full of grace and truth. He revealed his glory to us, and from his abundance we've received grace upon grace. The law given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus. Jesus has revealed this unseen God to mankind. God really wants us to know him. But we face a challenge in our modern day. And the challenge that present-day Christians face is that the Bible was written thousands of years ago. It wasn't written last week, amen? Or a month ago. And in the time that the Bible was written, things have changed a lot, okay? When you read the Bible, you're going to read about things that we don't see in everyday life. Maybe some things is a bit of an overlap, but you don't see people preaching from a boat to a crowd on a shore. I guarantee most of you, unless you've been to Israel, you've never seen that. You haven't seen that happen in Melbourne, okay? We live in a world of iPads and computers and schools and cars and traffic jams and big shopping centers with parking that you can never find. This is the world we live in. We don't live in a world where we live in a tent and we have a flock of sheep that we are shepherding, and that's our whole existence. And we may travel they may have traveled what they think is a long distance, but in reality, it's like us driving to Geelong. It's that kind of distance, which they might cover over months, you know. We can travel today from here to Cambodia in a couple of hours. Back in their day, that was impossible. In fact, there wasn't even a map for them to go, where is Cambodia? They didn't even know. These guys living in Israel at the time, they only knew kind of that Mediterranean area and maybe a little bit to the east of that. But we live in a world that is so different to the one that we read about, even in the New Testament. Because the New Testament kind of finished up, before like 70 AD. So we're talking a long time ago. And when you go back into the Old Testament, even further back, and even more of a cultural difference. And the challenge that we face is there is I believe it's a lie from the enemy that says to us, the world you live in is so different to the world that they lived in the Bible that you cannot know God the same way that they knew God back then. Because you've got a mortgage to pay. You've got insurances. You've got school fees. You've got to go to work at 9 and come home at 5. These guys, when Jesus preached to them in the boat and then he said, I'm going on the other side, the whole crowd ran around the side of the lake to stay with Jesus. And crowds followed him for days on end to the point where they got so hungry, they were starving and Jesus had to feed them. Thousands of people. How do we reconcile that in today's day when we've got a boss that goes, if you don't come to work, you're fired? And the mindset is, well, I live in such a different world to this world of the Bible. I don't think I can know God like these guys knew God. I want us to be really honest with ourselves. We're going to take a look in the mirror, because the biggest hindrance to our walk with God is the person we see in the mirror. Yeah. Nothing else. Amen? It's not circumstances. Yeah. It's not time. We don't have enough time. Paul had 24 hours in his day. It's not that God is invisible and that we aren't invisible. God was invisible and in Paul's day. Amen? Amen. Yes, okay, the disciples actually walked and saw Jesus in the flesh. But what we have now, actually, Jesus says, is better. He said, unless I go, the Holy Spirit can't come. And when He comes, it's going to be better for you than me here being here in the flesh. Hard for people to understand that, but it's true. And so we can have this mindset of, if we're really honest, I don't think that I can know God as well as John knew God. Let's be brutally honest this morning. Ask yourself that question. Deep, deep down in my heart, do I actually believe that I can know God as well as John? We're reading the Gospel of John. Or Paul was knocked down on the road to Damascus. His life was forever changed. He met Jesus. Do you believe you can know God as well or better than these guys? Be honest with yourself. Just have a think about that. I'll let that marinate a bit. I said earlier that when Jesus traveled from town to town, crowds of people followed him. They were so excited to be around Jesus because they never knew what was going to happen next. A leper gets healed. A dead person gets raised. He walks on water. He feeds thousands. All these miracles happening. Whole towns healed. Every single person in the town healed. Demons cast out of people. Amazing things happening. And crowds pressing in on Jesus, crushing, you know, the disciples around him to try and get close to Jesus. Was that in your heart this morning? When you came to church, when you pressed through the traffic on the way here, because you were expectant to meet with God this morning. You were like, God is going to do something in our meeting, and I can't wait to get to church with I press through the crowds to see what God is going to do. Is that what's in your heart? Was that in your heart this morning? You go, Russ, you're being silly. You know, things are different. It's not the same as actually seeing Jesus in the flesh. That's the exact mindset I'm talking about. That is the exact problem. It's that we have this disconnect, this 2,000-year disconnect, and it causes unbelief in our mind that we think when we come to church here, it's not the same as that crowd following Jesus back in 2,000 years ago, whenever it was. We think today is different because we live in this modern world of computers and all that kind of thing. That is the very mindset I'm challenging this morning. The Bible says in Matthew 18:20, when two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them. That's what the Bible says. How many are here this morning? Way more than two or three. That means we have gathered in the name of Jesus. That means God is here in our midst in a special way that's not the same as, well, everywhere I go, God is with me, or God is everywhere. This scripture is not talking about that. This scripture is talking about when people gather in the name of Jesus, He manifests His presence in a special way. It's like things can happen. Miracles can break out. And we should come here with that expectation. If we're not, we've got this mindset of the great divide, 2,000 years. I'm a modern day Christian. Things are different. Things were different with Paul. No wonder the book of Acts is full of miracles. And no wonder they saw the dead healed, the dead raised and the sick healed. Well, they needed it back then. We don't need that today. We got hospitals. We got Centrelink. Hey, we laugh, but we think like this because we come here with no expectation for God to break in because we've got this mindset of unbelief. We think somehow things are different for me. We don't have faith that I'm coming here. As long as there's someone else in this building, God is going to manifest His presence in a special way, and it can be the same or even better than the days when Jesus walked the earth. and miracles broke out. Why not? Why can't that happen? The problem is the person in the mirror. It's that person that doesn't believe. And you know, in some cases, Jesus went into a town and it says he couldn't do any miracles, just a few. Why? Because they didn't believe. They had such unbelief, he could hardly do a thing there. Imagine that. God could hardly do a thing. Why? Because people didn't believe. And the church is in danger of that all around the world today because of this gap, this thing of like, I can't relate to what I'm reading in the Bible. I can't relate to these guys trusting God for victory over a city called Jericho. I'm not looking to run around and knock a wall down of someone's house and conquer it. How do I make that part of my faith? What does it mean to me? We're so different. You see, here's the thing. We have changed. Society has changed big time. I mean, we've listed some of the things. The modern day life is so different to what it was in the Bible days, okay? We have changed. We've changed sitting here in this meeting. Every day we have hair falling out of our head. You probably lost a couple right now since I've been talking. Your skin, apparently your skin gets renewed every, I don't know what it is, 7 months or I don't know, 7 days or anyway, you're shedding skin all the time. Good thing we can't have eyesight to see all of that. You just be dust everywhere. People's skin coming off, right? But we're changing. Even the chair you are sitting in is not the same chair you sat in last week. It's not. You think it is, but it's wearing out. Every single thing on earth, all of creation, is wearing out. It is. Your car. Amen. Unless you drive a Ford. Amen, brother. See that hand. These are the saved people here. These are the guys in the know. But everything is changing. But here's the thing. The one thing that never changes is God. He is the same. He's the same God when he appeared to Moses, when he appeared to Paul and knocked him down. And Jesus said to him, why are you persecuting me? He's the same God as he is right now today. Nothing has changed. He didn't gain any knowledge since then. Nothing new took him by surprise. He hasn't changed the way he does things. He isn't like, well, back then, you know, I split the Red Sea and I'm, you know, doing this and that, providing for my people. But today I do things differently. You know, that's the past. I'm different now. God hasn't changed. Not one iota. He's the same. When Moses saw the burning bush and he said, what's your name? God said, I am who I am. Now think about that. Nothing in all creation can say that ever. God can say to Moses, I am who I am. Right now, as you see me, this is who I am. Paul, I am who I am. Nothing's changed. Today, I am who I am. But everything else, including people, we've all changed. We can never say that. I can't say I am who I am because I'm different from who I am a minute ago, a second ago. Things have changed. I lost a hair here or there. I grew a new wrinkle or something. Something happened, you know. Whatever. Only God can say, I am who I am. And so when it comes to knowing God, yes, we live in a different world. Yes, it's hard to understand the world of the Bible, but God hasn't changed. He still feels the same way about sin that he did in David's day that he does today. He hasn't changed. The same things make him happy. The same things make him sad. The same things make him angry. The same things excite him or whatever. He's the same God. Amen. Nothing has changed. And that means you and I can get to know God. As we read the Bible, you go, wow, this is what God feels about this thing. This is how God reacted in this circumstance. This was his heart. I know that he is the same God today. He showed grace back then. He shows grace today. He showed love to people there. We love people there. He still loves people today. That's why we can get to know God. But we've got to break this mindset of, well, I can't know God as much as the next, you know, as much as these guys in the Bible, because I live in a different world. It doesn't matter. God hasn't changed. Amen. And on top of that, he has given the Holy Spirit, who also is God, by the way, to help us and to instruct us. And guess what? It's the same Holy Spirit that fell at Pentecost, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same that is working in our lives today. No difference. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in your life right this very instant. Think about that. The same power. What's your expectation coming here? I mean, same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Well, yeah, okay, but all I'm expecting is a half an hour message and tea and coffee and go home. That's what I'm here for. Meanwhile, I need healing for this, and my auntie is unsaved, and my neighbor's, you know, on the verge of death and doesn't know Jesus. We need breakthrough today, but we've got to believe that God can do it. We've got to break out of this mindset of apathy and just, oh, things are so different now. They don't know what, God doesn't know what it's like to have a mortgage and pay insurance, and he doesn't know, you know. He knows. And so, you know, we're going through this book of John. And really, my heart is that we would know Jesus like John knew Jesus. But we've got to start with believing that. We've got to look ourselves in the mirror and say, okay, I actually believe this stuff. I believe God is in our midst right now. Two people at least have come here in the name of Jesus. That just means we're here to worship God. We're here because of what Jesus has done in our lives. Anywhere, that could be in the prayer meeting. It could be in a home group. It could be you and your wife praying at home for your family. That's two people in the name of Jesus addressing God. God comes. So it's far better than you staying at home and mowing your lawn on a Sunday and thinking, well, God is everywhere. I'm in Jesus. I'm connected to the body, and it's the same. It's not the same, because you didn't gather in the name of Jesus to mow your lawn, and you didn't gather with another Christian to mow your lawn together and pray together, did you? No. But here is different. But when we come here, we should be expecting anything can happen. Anything. God can. We could see the dead raised. Hopefully no one dies in this meeting. But read the book of Acts. People did die in the meeting. They lied about what they were giving and they dropped dead in the meeting. Two. That's why we take the offering up first. Get that out of the way. But hopefully, you know, Lord, help us. Help us to believe that we can know you like the disciples knew you. Like Moses. Moses spoke to you face to face, Lord, and what we have, you said, is better than that. We can scarcely believe it. It's hard for us, Lord, but help us this morning. Help us not to think that because we live in such a modernized world that we can't know you, like these guys who followed you around day after day. Lord, we can know you just as well, if not better. I pray that you would break mindsets this morning. As we just continue to look at a few more things, help us to believe this morning. Your word says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we read your word, let faith come to us and go, you know what? I can actually press in on God. I can know God. Thank you, Lord. Let's just have a look now at a couple of verses from John 1. Verse 14 says, so the word became flesh or human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Yeah, I think to me that it's wonderful that God knows exactly what it's like to be human. It's, yes, God is all-knowing, but he actually came and he experienced it firsthand. There's something special about that. And no matter what you're going through today, and you know, he understands, he knows where you're at better than anybody else. God knows what it's like to be you. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be thirsty. He knows what it's like to be betrayed by a friend. Judas, he called him friend. He knows. He knows what's going on in our lives. And then his character, he's full of unfailing love and faithfulness. See, this is the God that we're meeting today. He's full of unfailing love towards us. Unfailing love. That means he's never going to wake up one day, or he doesn't wake up, but we're never going to wake up one day and go, oh, God doesn't love me anymore. Oh, I mean, what could we do? If that actually happened, what could we even do about it? Nothing. But praise God, he is full of unfailing love. His love will never fail towards us. When you pray, when we meet, this is the God who comes in the midst of us. Imagine if he was a God full of unfailing anger and wrath. I mean, imagine if he was the Greek mythology. Some of their gods, or their so-called gods, they are angry people. They are killing people with lightning bolts and things like that. Imagine God was like that. We would be toast. We would. And we'd have nothing, we'd be able to do nothing about it. But God is not like that. He's full of unfailing love and faithfulness. He's full of faithfulness. And that means he can be relied upon. His promises in the Word of God, we can rely upon them. We can go, God, this is what you promised. Thank you that you're going to do it. Not, oh, please, God, please do this for me. Why would you say that to someone who is faithful, unfailingly faithful? He's never, not once, broken a promise. So why would we go, God, please, you promised to provide. Please provide for me. You don't have to pray like that. If you pray like that, you haven't understood that God is faithful. You say, thank you, Lord, that you promised to provide. Now I can move on with my life because he will provide. Amen? That's just being biblical. That's knowing the Bible. God doesn't change his mind from day to day. He doesn't. He doesn't wake up one day and go, well, this is how I'm dealing with you. And the next day, it's like something totally different. And we're like, oh, I don't know what to do. We can know who God is and know that he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he will be the same tomorrow. Nothing will change. When we went to Cambodia, in the past, if you flew on Singapore Airlines, you could take your boarding pass to one of the information desks. You'd give it to the lady there, and she'd give you a $20 voucher, Singaporean dollars, to spend in the airport. So we all went to the desk, and we handed in our thing, and the lady said, no, we don't do that anymore. No one told us. This changed. God will never do that to us. He's faithful. If he said he's going to do something, he will do it. Amen. And then verse 16 and 17. From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. We've received grace upon grace. It's like piling up on us. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness, his grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So it's saying we've received grace upon grace because the law was given and then Jesus piled on his new covenant on top. The law was already given as an act of grace. The law, many Christians think the law is terrible. Oh, we're not under the law. We don't want anything to do with the law. The law was a wonderful thing. Think about it. The law meant it was possible for God to live in the midst of the Israelite nation. What other nation on earth had their God living in the midst of them? And the law made that possible so that God didn't have to wipe them out every second week. That's the point of the law, to cover their sin so that God, a holy God, could live in the midst of their people. And that was a wonderful blessing for Israel because wherever they traveled, the other nations were absolutely terrified of them. They were. You can read it in Joshua when the spies went in and Rahab hid them. And she said this, I'll read it to you. You just take down the verse, Joshua 2, verse 9 to 11. She said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land. We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. For we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of heavens above and the earth below. The reason they were so terrified wasn't because they were terrified of the Israelites. Well, these guys are like some amazing army. They got the weapons and the technology. They had like pitchforks and they had nothing. They had no chariots. They had no siege equipment. Here's Jericho with walls as high as mountains. And there's the Israelites with no siege equipment. In the natural, it should have been, we're not afraid of you guys. Come. Come up to the wall and try and knock it down and see what we do to you. That's what should have happened. But you know what happened? The guys in Jericho looked down the path to where the Jordan River was. They saw the camp, but what did they see? The pillar of fire and smoke. And they knew God is in the midst of that people. We are in trouble. That's the blessing of having the law. That's the grace of God. And so we've received grace upon grace. The new covenant that Jesus has given is even more superior to that old covenant. Now it's not just God living in the midst of his people in a tent, God living in our lives. The Holy Spirit in us. God in us, the hope of glory. Wow. And we can do that because of the new covenant. Because Jesus is that final sacrifice that atones for our sin. You and I are in this new covenant. Just think of what that means to you. It means you can draw near to God. One of the things that happened when Jesus died is that the temple curtain, that curtain between the Holy of Holies and the holy place was torn from the top to the bottom. What does that mean? It means God tore that curtain. If man tore it, it would have been bottom to top. But God tore that curtain. And you know what? I think God was been waiting thousands of years for that day. He couldn't wait to tear that curtain. Because it means now we have access into the very Holy of Holies, into the what they call the Shekinah, that glorious presence. In that place, there were no lights inside of that place. In the holy place, they had candlesticks. But behind the curtain, there was no light other than the glory of God above the Ark of the Covenant. He lit that place. And now you and I, we've got access into that because of the new covenant. Wow. Oh, we come to church and, that was a good message, Russ. Please don't come and tell me this was a good message. That if you say that, I've failed as a preacher. I want you to come and say, God met me and I've repented and I'm changed. That message challenged the life out of me. That's what I want to hear. Not, well done, good message. I know what you're saying. I know you're trying to encourage me. And I know that. And I don't want to discourage that. But we need to have an encounter with God and truly come before ourselves and say, Lord, from this day onwards, I'm repenting. I don't want to ever come to church again or home group or prayer meeting or have some other Christians over in my home and pray together and expect nothing but a nice coffee and a biscuit. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in you right now. God is in our midst. Anything can happen if we believe. Amen. The curtain's been torn. We have access into that place, which is both the most wonderful and the most terrifying place to be in. Right where God is. We have access now in the new covenant. Isn't that a wonderful thing? My prayer is that as we go through John, we would read John and go, you know what? Okay, John is saying God is a faithful God. John is saying, you know, he's an eternal God. Everything was created through him. You know, without him, nothing was made. He's the creator of all things. Wow, John had such a revelation. I want such a revelation of God. I want to know God as well as John knew him. I want to know Jesus as much as Paul knew Jesus. You know, it says that John leant back on the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper. It was like he was closest out of all the disciples. I want to be like that. Why not? Amen. What's stopping us? What is stopping you? You are stopping you. Let's break off these chains of unbelief. Let's break off this thing of, hey, it's different today. Let's break that off and say, no, God hasn't changed. I can get to know him the same. Let's press in on the Lord. I want to end this morning by just praying for us and praying that right now God would meet with you, that he would speak to you right now, that he would put his hand on your shoulder, that you would feel his presence. He would reveal that he's actually real. He's not just some theoretical, we hope we're going to see someone when we die. He's real. He's alive. He's living and active. Like his word, he's moving among the people of the earth, touching lives, changing lives. And he's here right now, and he wants you to know him. Let's close our eyes and just allow the Lord to speak to us. Allow him to touch you. Lord, we come before you this morning, and our heart's desire is that we want to draw nearer to you. We want to know you more. I pray that any mindset of unbelief would be broken here this morning. Anyone that feels that they cannot get to know you, like the disciples or like Moses or whoever in the Bible, I pray, Father, for revelation this morning. I pray that you would speak. I pray that we would hear your voice this morning. In our hearts, we would hear that voice of the Lord speaking to us. Maybe just expressing how much you love us, how we can rely on you, how you are unfailing in faithfulness and love. You're merciful. You're true. You're just. You're a God who is infinite and essentially unknowable, and yet you want us to know you. You're a God who reveals himself. We thank you for that, Lord. Just come now, Lord, and just touch lives. I pray that we would feel the presence of the Lord in a powerful way. We'd hear your voice. Just let the Lord speak to you. You don't need to say anything or do anything. Just fix your eyes upon the Lord. Let him speak to you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, I pray for just a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit in our lives. You said that if we ask you, you will give the Holy Spirit. You'll baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I pray for that this morning. Let there be a fresh outpouring, a fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.